From Calvary Church of Santa Ana, this is the Calvary Life Podcast, the show where we share stories, laugh together, and have discussions about faith, life, and God with people from Calvary Church. Here are your hosts, Eric and Matt.
Welcome to the Calvary Life Podcast. This is Eric Wakeling, and I am actually not here with Matt Doan today. I have two very special guests, one named Dory and one named Flynn, who are our VBS, a couple of our VBS characters. Dory, how's it going?
Hello, it's going so good. Yeah, mir, shumë mir, as you say in Albania.
Oh, okay, nice. That's where you're from, Albania?
Yeah, Luzhnia.
Oh, nice.
With our sister church, The Way of Peace.
Oh, yeah, you know them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool, cool, cool. And then Flynn, how are you doing?
It is a pleasure to be on your podcast.
All right.
I'm coming from Quebec, Canada. I am not just Canadian, I am French Canadian.
Oh, okay. I thought you were from actual France, but you are from French Canada. I like that. Okay.
Oui, oui.
That's my, I mean, my people were not from French Canada, but I'm a Canadian guy, you know.
I felt a little closer to you than normal.
I've been thinking about, you know, I talked about in our last podcast, I'm sure you guys listened to this up in Quebec, but I talked about becoming maybe a Canadian citizen. What do you think about that? Would you accept me into your culture?
Well, that's actually an interesting question because Well, you want me to say French?
It's funny how you, like, lost the accent.
I did lose the accent. I thought about the fact that I'm a Mexican citizen.
Oh, yeah.
And I carry dual citizenship.
There you go. By the way, guys, oh, crazy. That was actually Tim Nellis.
Big twist.
Plays the role of Flynn.
Big twist.
And Aaron Holm, who plays the role of Dory at VBS.
Dory's still here, though. Dory no leave.
She might stay with us the whole time.
That'll be a pleasure. No. Like, that'll just be such a nice listen. Yeah.
So outside of the process, like, can you keep dual citizenship?
Correct.
Do it.
Yeah.
Automatic.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
If you guys want to write into podcast@calvarylife.org to think if, like, I should do this or not, Aaron, would you go with a dual Albanian citizenship if you could do that today?
Would Aaron do that?
as much as we love Albania, I don't know how much that helps you in life, but
I don't know. Yeah, what benefits would I get?
You know, I don't know.
Free book? That's bread. I don't know. It seems like it'd be nicer if it was a little closer country.
Yeah,
easier in and out.
Away. Yeah, exactly.
It's a little too far.
Exactly.
I love Albania, but...
It might be a mistake, however, because I remember in college, I kind of took the same approach to dating. And I like two
keep your
separate
options open.
Girls and I was too afraid to commit to either. So I kind of committed to both and it didn't work out.
Oh, then they both.
Ooh. Yes. Found out
the dumpster.
They did.
Wow.
Dang. When was that like the last breakup you experienced before you met your wife?
One of them was my wife.
Oh. So you did choose one.
I came crawling back.
That's actually really
finding
funny.
The error of my ways.
Okay, so we are here VBS week. You guys are being characters, which is this whole stellar theme, which is space.
Mm-hmm.
How's it going so far? How are the kids reacting to you? What's it like being a character?
I think it's going well. It's fun. I love being a character. They don't really care about you at all till day today.
Till like yeah, Wednesday. We're oh yeah,
today's
we're recording
Wednesday,
on Wednesday day three. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, it's fun. I feel like it's a fun way to interact with them in a very unique way.
Yeah.
And it's just silly. Pretend like you're someone else and not yourself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I love it.
It is fun, actually. I think it's super fun. What about you, Tim? How's it going?
It's the only way I could do half the things that I do on stage is if I'm in character.
Yes.
Because Tim Nellis wants nothing to do with half the things that I'm asked to do. But Flynn Lazuli, he's down for it all. And so
yeah,
I enter into character.
I was telling someone yesterday that if I just had a regular, normal accent, like how I usually talk, just like almost like Dash, who's Christian's character, just
yes.
kind of like pretty normal, it'd be a lot harder. I think having an accent, even though it's very terrible, helps me just get more into it and be silly and goofy and dumb.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I remember like my character I had played once was that flight school was kind of like a long time ago, and it was one of the first things I'd ever done, but I was supposed to be like a veteran fighter pilot who's super brave and knows how to do everything. And that's when we went and jumped out of a plane, and I was being filmed literally doing the like jumping out of the plane, and I was utterly terrified, shaking, like so scared inside my like
the Eric part of you was
the Eric part of me. The guy, and the guide's like, I was like gripping onto stuff, and the guide's like, bro, you gotta settle down, like you gotta just let go, just relax. And I had to like give a line into the camera with my feet dangling out of the plane and say, all right, Iceman, all right, Jazz, let me show you how it's done. And then we jump out into a barrel roll out of the plane.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm supposed to look confident. And I look to the camera because it was Ryan Rail was filming. And I go, all right, Ryan, let me show you how it's done. And I'm like, wait. Because it's also like, this is the whole thing. Like, we're supposed to jump when the guy says jump, not like, acting, you know.
Yes, it's not like retake.
No,
retake.
This is just renting a thing to go jump out of a plane. And then and then I did a retake though and hit the line, thankfully. But it was like that's
terrifying.
But I don't think Eric would have done it, right?
Mm-hmm. Like yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. No, being in a character helps you do dumb things. Like yesterday I ate a cricket. Didn't really want to do that. But I'm like, when they put it in front of your face in front of like 600 kids, you can't not eat it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So you got to do it.
Yeah. It's are you going to be the just Debbie Downer that's just like, no, I'm not doing that.
Right. Exactly.
No, that doesn't happen. All right. Have you had to do anything like, what's like, Tim, for you, the weirdest thing or something you had to do or gross or scary?
Yeah. A couple years ago, they did this like shakeup like game at the end of the week where they just dumped a whole bunch of different things into a blender.
Oh, yeah.
Including a ton of pickle juice.
Oh.
And it was supposed to pour slowly over my face, but it kind of got congealed in the blender, and so it kind of got stuck. And so Doug, like, kind of started to shake it, and it all came out all at once and went up my nose. Oh. And I smelled pickles for, like, 2 days. It got, like, up in my... It was rough.
Man.
Have you guys had to do the scary animal stuff, like putting your hand into, like, a thing where an animal was?
Fear Box Challenge.
Fear Box?
We did it for a couple years in a row.
Yeah, that was awful, too. I really hated that.
Because you just don't know what's in there.
I know.
It's like, either, like, an egg or it's, like, a live crab.
Yeah,
or a tarantula or something. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny.
Did they put someone's head in there one time?
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
Someone's face.
Yeah.
Someone's
face. Yeah, I remember those
like
years ago.
Biting at you or something. Okay, so what do you like feel like how the kids are connecting this year? How are they learning? Whatever. I don't know. If the people are curious about VBS. I know we just started. So we're recording this like just after the opening session on day three. So it's like, it's still kind of in progress, not even halfway through VBS, but I don't know. Any sense of
I feel like they like start to warm up to everything and get used to it. I feel like Wednesday is kind of like the Wednesday at camp, summer camp or Hume or whatever. There's like a shift in the camp. There's a shift in the week where they kind of know what they're doing. They know their schedule. They know the characters. Yeah. They're starting to like memorize their verses. So there's usually like a shift, I feel like, on Wednesday where just everything gets more hype, not just like being in the worship center, but even outside when they're in craft or at recreation, it's just all pretty hype. But then you do see a change in the worship center at the end when they're all singing. It's like pretty crazy, but they're all pumped and singing. Whereas the first day they're kind of like sitting there learning the song still. So I think they're starting to warm up.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's great. I see them connecting with the verses this year differently a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're just one line verses are easy to remember, but like when we go around to different stations and they're supposed to recite like the verses they learn, like almost all the kids know it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like Dory said, there is an excitement about worship. Like we had the whole like approach the stage, which is like, don't, but this awesome do it
exactly,
type moment
exactly.
Where you see an excitement to be participating in the things of God. And I think that's what this week does for a lot of kids, is it makes the things of God approachable and something that is exciting to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And so if you guys, as you're listening, because like maybe people listen to the podcast, like not necessarily like at VBS, it's cool because they did the big opening session that's like wild, crazy. We make movies. That's this whole like 5-day movie thing that they watch. It probably ends up being like 40 minutes long or something like that. I don't know. Something
probably.
Like, yeah. And then as they come out of this time of like worship, the characters kind of reinforcing the themes each day. And it's all about shining Jesus' light into different, that's like the theme, into like different moments of life. Like the first day was like, when life feels dark, shine Jesus' light.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a strong start, like kind of like an intense start almost, you know, because when life feels dark, really, what are we talking about? We're talking about hard stuff. Like, mm-hmm. we deal with in life. And these kids are actually dealing with hard mm-hmm. things. And so we're showing in, like, real fun, light ways, like, stuff that's, like, meaningful and deep, actually. And but yeah. how Jesus, like, shines into each one. But, yeah, then they go to, like, a craft session. They go to a session on missions. Just learn. And we have some missionaries, the Pazminos from Ecuador. Then they go from, like, then they go to, like, a recreation time. And then they go to snack, and then they have Bible teaching. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I think those are, like, the five different rotations. And then they come back for a big closing session in the worship center, and it's, like, big mm-hmm. hype and fun and games. And you guys, that's where you guys get a little tortured, so to speak, yeah. right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, characters. Anything goes. And this year, for some reason, they decided not to tell us what we're about to walk into.
Yeah.
Which is...
It's fun.
Fun. A little bit fun.
I might have, like, had something to do with that.
Well, it used to be that way years ago.
Exactly.
And then yeah. slowly we began to learn what we're doing. And it just kind of takes away from the actual excitement and anticipation of what's going to come our way.
Actual fear.
Right. Yeah. Like, we're, like, you know, people that are the characters, you guys, no offense, we're not actually good actors.
Terrible. Actually, really, really terrible.
We're like pastors and stuff. We're and not. So it's the actual fear is good mm-hmm. or the nerves are good because it's just yeah. real genuine, you know. I know. So, yeah, I wanted that to be a little more intense in there for you. So apologize for that.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's good. Mm. Half gross, but
I'll think about you.
Scary.
A couple yeah. hours.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to tell you
yeah,
what kind of thoughts.
So we love VBS, and that's good times.
So I have a little question for you.
Oh, boy.
So you were, like, a regular character for years.
Yes.
Often the bad guy.
Yeah, a few times.
Bad guy. But both mm-hmm. end.
Yes.
As you sit here and watch, what is the level of I miss being a part of that versus I'm on the other side and I never need to go back?
There's definitely a little bit of FOMO, sure. Like, so you're kind of like, ooh, that's fun. And like when you guys go to, not the filming we do here, but the filming when it's like at a location, yeah. that's like the fun, I think. And when you go film somewhere and it's like the bonding and the fun of all that. And then like the hype of VBS is like super exciting and fun. It's also like, if people don't realize this, the character role, like all of VBS is exhausting. There's like a thing of like VBS tired. It's like a special kind of tired. But like the character thing for some reason is just like massively draining. I don't know if you guys have experienced this, like, or how much you do experience this, but I just felt like mm-hmm. the life would be sucked out of me. And so I don't miss like that, like drainingness of it, but I do, mm-hmm. but it was fun. I also was kind of feeling like a couple years ago, I was like, all right, so I feel like I am... A, the senior pastor. B, I'm getting a little older. I feel like it's better for me to opt out rather than getting opted out. Mm-hmm. So I sort of opted myself out. It was just like,
before it burned too hard.
Yeah, and I don't want to be like doing it. And then you're like, oh, everybody's.
People are like asking, like, oh, why is Eric
makes
still?
Himself in there. Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's super fun. It's super fun.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
We miss you.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
I don't know if I do, but
the proverbial we.
Yeah.
Yes, but you're in the band. You're like slapping the bass.
Yeah, so playing bass in the band is fun.
Yeah,
that's fun.
I like actually think it's really fun. So it's like a different stretching challenge for me, but I can also bring some energy mm-hmm. up there too and have some craziness. So I know like some people in church like, which is good. Like they kind of like think it's like cool to like just see the like senior pastor's not like too serious or whatever. I'm not just like walking around like shaking hands and like, oh, how are you doing today?
I will do the salvation prayers only.
Yeah, exactly.
10 years, you'll be there.
Yeah, probably. Maybe. I'll be playing bass in a little wheelchair.
Yeah. Wait, how old are you? 10 years.
I'm like 90.
Did you just run an Ironman?
Yeah, that stuff wears off pretty quick.
Yeah.
All right, so...
Should we talk about Iron Man? I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Suddenly, if you could, like, track the drops in listeners, just like, oh, they heard the word Iron Man, and we're out. We're out. No, but let's actually talk. So we typically don't just talk about VBS here at the Calvary Life Podcast, but I want to talk a little bit still back into, like, the Sunday conversations that we have and kind of, like, the broader conversation about discipleship. So it's, like, a little bit of, like, even for us, like, okay... Exhale, take a breath. We're in the middle of VBS, literally outside the windows of this studio. You can see like them practicing with lighting and it's like going all crazy in the room. Mm-hmm. But we're going to also try to be like focus in on some of this like stuff about discipleship. So you guys, Tim and Aaron, like have been super like part of this like whole little group, like helping work towards what does discipleship look like at Calvary? What does this mean? So like as a pastoral staff, we were like praying and talking through this like as far back as last October at our retreat, just kind of working some of this stuff out. And I actually feel like at that retreat, we like broke some good ground, like even of just like really like where we are. It's interesting to think about today. And I have to just like give Tim props, even though I haven't like given him, I don't think too many props on stage. I think I said it at one time, but I'm like, I can't say this every time I say this phrase now. I just have to like, I just have to like own it.
Yeah, no, yeah, you can.
Like it. You'd like it. But we like had this whole brainstorm kind of like we went out into like times of prayer and then came back together sharing like just like what do we feel like discipleship is? Like, what does this mean? And that was when Tim said, I just feel like it's given away what you've received. Mm-hmm. And at that. And so you guys can like, you know, clap. Just, yeah, you know, give Tim. Woo! Yeah. And then that's it. Okay, we're done.
No, that's over. Now you can send your complaints to Nellis.Tim at CalvaryLife.com.
No, but like, I think that's been like.
Nellis.Tim. It's very wrong.
That's my Gmail.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can email me too at wakeling.eric@calvarychapel.org. yeah, so like that, but that just was kind of like sticking with me. There's something about that was just like, I tried to shake it because I didn't want Tim to like have that much influence into it, right, Aaron? You know, I don't know, just, but
yeah.
But no, but like I do feel like that's been super helpful. And then we've been, but like then we were all sort of like part of this group that was working on thinking and talking more about discipleship, and here we are today. So I don't know, I'm kind of curious just to get some of like, I'll start with you, Tim, just since I've been focusing in on you here, but just like, what do you feel like this process of from last October to now has been like for our church staff, like leading into what we've done even in the last few weeks?
I think it's just been super, actually really helpful of getting us all on the same page and rediscovering and reprioritizing the fact that discipleship is basically the main thing we are called to invite people into.
Yeah.
To following Jesus and helping others to follow him. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's so easy to get like so caught up in whatever mini project or whatever kind of theme or movement is happening at that time, either in society or even within your own group or church. And I thought it was a uniting thing for our staff to be like, okay, let's and it was good for me because, you know, I get caught up in whatever is going on, and I'm just like, oh no, it's about discipleship.
Yeah.
And so I saw that happen.
Even if you're putting on an event like Houseboat Trip for like for college and young adult students, right? Or like humans, sorry, adults.
They are humans most of the time.
Most of the time, yeah, exactly.
Animals.
But like, yeah, it's like, and I think that trip has been, but just like, how are we doing discipleship through those things as well? Like infusing that into everything we do, right? Yeah. Okay, cool. I don't know. Any thoughts on that for you, Aaron?
I was just thinking how the way we've been talking about discipleship seems more all-inclusive. Not that it hasn't been, but I think it gives people hope that they can be someone who makes disciples.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, what? They're maybe for the first time considering what they have received, which is kind of eye-opening because it doesn't need to be this huge, like, I went to seminary and now I can make disciples, or I'm a pastor.
Right.
It's, oh, like, I know how to do this or that, and I know how to have a conversation, and so I'm able.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I was having, because this last Sunday we did the whole, like, that inventory checklist thing. Mm-hmm. And if you guys weren't there, it was, like, I really encourage you to go to calvarylife.org/disciple, and the PDF of this thing is there that you can just, like, print out or just look at or whatever. But it's like this whole list of, I don't know, there's probably 100 things or something. I actually should have counted, but like a bunch of things that you could have received in some way. You learned from someone, you watched it be modeled by someone, all of that, like that you could have learned, whether that's like how to pray or how to study the scripture or just how to like grieve or how to encourage someone. Like it's just all sorts of different things.
Yeah.
And, like it was cool just to watch people like, or to talk with people afterwards that were like, oh yeah, okay. Like it was, I think it really was kind of like sparking some thoughts of like, oh yeah, I have received some stuff. Like I could give some things away.
I got to talk with Susie Alexander for a little bit, and she is the wife of Norm, and they are amazing leaders of one of our young adult Sunday school, well, life groups.
Yeah.
And it was so cool to hear her talk about the way their group latched on to this survey and felt empowered and felt, I have received so many things. Mm-hmm. I have so much to offer.
Yeah.
And I think it was really cool because even like one of them works with Crew, Campus Crusade, and they're like, we want to use this survey at our, you know, with our people, because there's something super powerful when you can start to identify how good God has been to you, how much he has pursued you, how much he has given you. And then when you can identify that, it's so much easier to think about giving it away, because you're not trying to give away something you don't have yet. Mm-hmm. You are giving away something you have lots of.
Yeah.
And that's, it's easy to be generous in that way.
Yeah, agreed. It was cool to even hear people talking about different ways they feel like they've received that, but because they were almost feeling like I was kind of doing this on purpose, but I was like, making it like pigeonholed into it's only from another person or just from like you and the Lord, but I wasn't giving them really any other options. But then people were also like, well, I also feel like I've learned this in like sermons, or I learned this from reading books and stuff like, and it's true, like reading, like some people are like, oh yeah, I have actually received a lot, but also from like reading books and stuff. Now I've been like pressing into saying it's like from relationship, just because I want us to do it more in relationship is kind of the whole point of this whole, like at least this whole recent push. But we can be discipled though in like all sorts of ways. I know, like some people talk
about through the Calvary Life podcast.
Oh yeah, you're being discipled right now. Maybe
this is how you talk in a microphone in three easy steps.
But like, so I don't know. I was kind of pumped on like people kind of just like really getting some of this stuff that we've been thinking about for a while. And it's like getting into the, I don't know, just sort of the culture of Calvary. And it's definitely like the goal is was not just this series, but we want to keep like pressing in. Aaron, as the spiritual formation pastor here at Calvary Church, how do you think like these things sort of blend with like the stuff that you think about spiritual practices and like meeting with people to help them like in like seeing how Christ is forming them? Like how do these things kind of tie together in your view?
Yeah. I think it's helpful first just to remind everyone who's listening, like what spiritual formation is, talking about our human spirits and how we all have been formed in a certain way. So as a Christian, the goal is to be transformed by Christ, by the Holy Spirit. And the hope is that our character is formed more into Christ-likeness, that his character is even formed in us. And so that's what we're talking about with that. And so, yeah, I think as each of us are on our own growth journey into Christ-likeness, into knowing God's love in deeper places that maybe we haven't known it before, or just being in a, just a deeper relationship with the Lord, I think that goes hand in hand with discipleship. They're different in the sense of formation is kind of what's happening to you, and discipleship is what's, you have been discipled maybe by these things or by these people who are influencing your formation. And so out of that, the hope is that if I'm like, for example, if we take a practice of like silence and solitude or reading scripture, as I practice that more, I become someone who knows that more and maybe how it works for me. So then I could take someone who I'm in a relationship with and being like, hey, to like one of my young adult students, like this is how solitude has been impactful for me and kind of like teach it in that sense.
You know, like as you're saying that, it's interesting. I was thinking about how like all of those things on the list almost like have to be practiced. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, hey, you received it. It's almost like coaching or something where, yeah, you received the instruction or the coaching in some way. Now you have to then go and practice, or like it could be sports, or it could be learning to play guitar. Like someone showed you like how to form the chords on the guitar. Sure. And then now you go and practice that. Right. Mm-hmm. So like someone like, so like you, maybe you go and like help someone learn like, oh, here's like how you can pray and listen to the Lord in this way or whatever. Now it's like, okay, now go practice. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting. And then maybe after you've practiced a little bit, then go help someone else with it. You know, it's like a cycle or something.
Yeah. Right? One of the ones that's been more prominent, I think, than even like me teaching silence and solitude to young adults has been how the Lord has really transformed my prayer life when I felt for the first time the invitation that I could actually be very honest with God in prayer. Mm. And because that impacted me so naturally, that was actually what was happening in my life. Mm-hmm. That is when I was like, no, this is so good. Mm-hmm. And like, I felt I've been bringing that to our young adult group over the past, I don't know, year or so. And I think that has actually like discipled others in that.
Yeah.
But that's because of the Lord's work in me and me being excited about that and having him impact that. And that's like formation, right?
Yeah.
And like my interaction with the Lord. And then out of that, I'm like, oh, I want to bring others into this.
Yes. That's And that's like, I feel like even to me of like, last summer of having this like profound experience of like receiving the love of God. And then it's just like, I've been like hammering that, you know, drum for the last year.
Yeah.
And so it's like, cause that was Christ forming in me. Mm-hmm. And then, so that's really cool. Mm-hmm. I don't think Tim has any of those stories though. So.
But not, I not do. Till 3 months from now.
We'll find out. Someday.
Tim's about to go on sabbatical.
Yeah. Ooh, Sabbat. I'm excited.
Exactly.
But I was going to say, I think that's really helpful for, especially for the YouTube generation, where in their minds, they know how to do everything because they've seen a video on how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But so many of them have never actually practiced the thing that they learned how to do on the YouTube video.
Yeah.
And until they practice it, they know it in theory, but not in reality.
Yeah.
And I think so much of the Christian life, so many people, they know in theory, but not in reality. And that's where the practice and like, and that's where meaningful discipleship comes from is I have lived this. And so this is how I'm going to invite you into actually living it. Mm-hmm. And so Aaron's done an incredible job at doing that with our young adults and a lot of the spiritual practices. And the fun thing about it, we just got back from our houseboat trip and you can customize your trip every single time because it's just you and your group.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we did this year is I would do a shorter teaching of like 20 minutes and then we would end with a 10-minute practical that Aaron would lead of practicing that which we just talked about. Yeah, and then everyone does it together. And because of that, those ideas become reality and then it just shifts everything. So,
yeah, that's really good. That's really good. And that's kind of even, we sort of have tried to be doing every once in a while in church. Mm-hmm. We even did it like in church this Sunday of like making people practice, like, how do you just talk to each other about something, you know, about one of these things?
Yeah.
Were you guys, I know on some Sundays you're like in the crowd and some Sundays you're kind of like in the back, but like this Sunday, were you in the crowd?
Yeah.
And like, so did you turn and talk to somebody? What were your conversations like without outing someone's like, this stuff wasn't like personal accountability.
Sure. So the three girls I was with, just kidding. No, it's just three young adult girls and we were, they each had something different and I was surprised actually with what they shared. And one of them was just like, one of them was more obvious and she was saying like, I love connecting with the Lord through postures and in worship and in prayer. And so she's like, I love how I've received this. Like I learned this like a while ago and I love teaching others like how to engage the Lord in worship through using different postures.
Like physical postures, like raising your hands, kneeling, stuff like that. Yeah. Okay.
All that. So that was cool.
Yeah.
And then I don't remember the other ones, but they were great.
Deep, meaningful.
But they were like,
do you think they're listeners to the podcast?
Highly doubt it. So it's all good. I remember who they are. I don't remember what they said. And I don't remember what they said because they were surprising to me, I think. I was like, oh, I wouldn't have that. I just didn't know that that's what you've received. I was like, oh, that's cool. One had to do something with spiritual. Was there something with spiritual warfare on there?
Yeah.
Something like that. I was like, I was just surprised that you've received this, but now you want to like give it away.
Oh, hey.
Ooh, 10:02.
Yeah, the alarm's going off 10:02. That's actually something we talked about on Sunday,
too. I guess
we
should pause and pray.
Yeah.
Should we practice?
Yeah. It's always so weird to me to do like prayers on recorded things for some reason. I have like I have such a weird hang up with it, like for some reason, because it feels like then when you listen to it, you're like, I don't know. It's so weird. Is it real? Like, I don't
know. Wow.
I know. It's like, I even struggle with like live, like,
let me disciple you. I know
it's real. I feel weird watching the live stream. I have like a hard time like connecting with that in like an actual spiritual way. Mm. So it's like a thing for me where it feels, once it's like out there in that way, it feels sort of like put on. I have a struggle. I'm just confessing this. This is the real stuff. Ooh, here on the
real
pod.
Moments with podcast. Yeah. With Pastor Eric.
But maybe we need the
confession podcast,
the prayer expert to do the praying for us.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, I will.
Thanks, Tim.
I swear I'm kidding about that. I apologize. No, well, one of you though, because I now cannot.
Yeah, I will.
Okay,
I will.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
God, you are doing good things, and we want more and more people to join with you in the good things you are doing. We pray that you would send more people to join you in the work you're doing. Amen.
Nice. Amen. It was real. It was real, guys. It was a real prayer. He didn't even have that written down. He did it all from his heart.
From deep inside.
Okay, so like, Tim, did you have any conversations with people? Like...
Well, I was talking with Lauren McGunigal, who she was telling me a story about how her and Sam have grown up in church, and so they checked off a lot of the boxes. Mm-hmm. And they talked to a couple right next to them who came to Christ as later in life as middle-aged adults.
Yeah.
And they had very few boxes checked. Mm. And so it was like such an interesting thing, because I think not only what this does for you is it like helps you understand what's happening in your life and the gaps that might be there, but it also helps you to understand how you can start to interact with those around you. Because I think a lot of times if you see someone who's of a certain age, you think that they should be more mature than you in all these areas. But if they've never had someone show them how to do something, then there's no reason for them to be a few steps ahead of you.
Yeah.
And or like vice versa. And so I think what it does is it helps you to treat each other with more grace and kindness, because you're like, oh, you've been coming to church for 30 years, but you've never had these 16 things done with you.
Right.
I would love, you know, I was, for whatever reason, I had a really cool mentor that did four of those with me. Let's talk about that, because you're missing out, or whatever it might be. So I think it's like, it's this cool idea of viewing people appropriately and accurately based upon the experiences that they have received.
Yeah.
And so you can be so much more kind and gracious with yourself and with those around you, because if you haven't received something, you've never received it, and there's nothing that you can do about it, like in hindsight, but there's something you can do about it heading forward.
Yeah. Mm. Right. Exactly. That's good. And it's like, if you don't know your, you know, if you call them your gaps or these areas that are opportunities to grow, maybe then you're not like able to pursue that. But it's like, oh, maybe a bunch of people had sort of just like a light switch, you know, flipped for them of like, oh yeah, these are a few areas I could ask someone to help me in, or, you know, to receive from someone in. Yeah. So that's true. That's really cool. And it's, instead of seeing people like, why didn't you, you know, how could you be a 30-year Christian and not like have this?
It's why didn't you volunteer to pray out loud?
Right, right.
When they've never been shown how.
Yeah, exactly.
Other than
exactly. I actually kind of like making people like the different, for the person that doesn't seem like the person to call on to pray out loud, that doesn't have experience, like to ask them just, and you're like, it ends up, the reason I like it, I don't want to like make someone feel uncomfortable, but I do like, I actually really like the prayer that happens, because it's like
there's a purity about
there's
it.
There's such a purity. Yeah. It's so raw and, and good. It just feels very sort of David Psalm like, you know? Anyway, so eloquent prayers are extremely overrated, in my opinion.
Eloquent.
All right. So let's see. Let's see. What else can we talk about this when it comes to this whole discipleship process?
Formal discipleship and then like a little bit informal.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, like, you know, the definition we're using is giving away what we've received. And I think for me, it's happened formally, even like I'm a pastor. So like there are a lot of more formal quote unquote meetings. But I think I even wonder sometimes if the more impactful stuff has just been informal because I'm in a relationship with these people.
Yeah.
And not to be cheesy, but like doing life with them. And so it's like this natural, this natural way they see me doing something or see the way I act or live. Or I've seen that in other people. I'm like, just because who they are and the way they've been formed and the way that they are pursuing Christ is like attractive, or like, I want to like be like them in that way. And so I think that's been mostly for me too. It's been informal, but then there's definitely been formal ways too, like school and church, like Bible studies or whatever.
Yeah. Do you think it's kind of like it? I'm trying to think if you say it's when it's like more beneficial for you or has been more helpful for you when it's been in the informal and doing life together. Because I wholeheartedly agree with this, because I really do wholeheartedly agree. But I wonder if it's because we've had formal so much sort of like forced at us that we sort of like respond a little bit in that way, maybe. Or because I think if you only had informal or you only had formal, both are bad. Or both are or like
lacking.
Or sorry. Both are lacking. Or it's like so great to have had. I kind of think of it as four things. It's like short-term formal, long-term formal, short-term informal, long-term informal. Like there's these, you could have had like a long relationship with like a best friend or somebody that's like really been formative in your life or a lifelong mentor that's like, or more like a friend that's just been like long-term informal. Wow, I've just like learned from the course of their life and how they've handled both the good and the bad and like whatever. But also I just like happened upon a conversation with someone, let's say, you know, like in a,
and that stood out to you
on a plane or whatever, you know? Yeah. And you never see this person again, but it like stood out to you or whatever. Like, but also like, man, it's probably was like really good that I went to church for 40 years.
Like,
I don't know. Like,
no, totally.
And like, it was also really good for me, like the super formal, when I was with Campus Crusade my freshman year of college, and I had a person with a weekly discipleship meeting with a little booklet that I had to do the homework ahead of time, you know, super formal, and it was 9 months long, but it was like really like formative in my life, like really helpful. I don't want that all the time.
Right.
But anyway, so I'm just kind of thinking if it's like,
I think if like it was all formal, it would train us that life is like that, that we just become people who just do the right thing or like become like good moralists or whatever. Because then you're just learning how to like do the thing, do the task that they're teaching you. But if you don't see it actually done in real life, then you're not going to know how to interact with it even. So if someone's like, you need to have integrity, I'm telling you right now, have integrity. And you're like, okay, I'm going to have integrity. It's not even until maybe you trust that that is a valuable characteristic in life that you see that person in a conflict where they need to either choose integrity or choose like dishonesty. It's not until then you're like, oh, like that must have been a really tough decision, but that's like really remarkable. And like, that's, you know,
Absolutely.
That's like God honoring. So I don't know if that's a good example.
No, but that's great. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I think a good example for me in my life is Jeff Biddle. He used to be a pastor here. I got to intern under him and, and be an associate pastor with Matt Doan under Jeff. And I love the different stages of discipleship that we received under him. We had like his weekly teaching that he taught to the high school group that we would all, you know, you hear a story about Joshua and about his son and about the Starbucks lady and all these things. And you hear this teaching on scripture. And then he would have like our meetings where we would talk about like a spiritual discipline. We go through like a book by, you know, Foster or whatever on spiritual disciplines. And then the most impactful, when I think back about how did Jeff disciple me, it was cleaning out the two-way closet together. It was going on a hike in Whiting Ranch together. It was those pieces. It was driving in a van. And like those are the ones where I saw the words of the man being practiced in my presence, which made me believe the words differently than if I had just heard the words and never been with him when they were practiced. So I think that's where the power of discipleship happens, is when the disciples were walking with Jesus, not, I think that was the more powerful moments when he was interacting with the sick and the marginalized, when he was interacting with the Pharisees, not when he was teaching in the synagogue as much. I think that was, those were hugely formative and formal places of education, but the discipleship, I think, was taking place when they walked with him.
Yeah, that's interesting. That is interesting. I think it's like important for people to like think about what you have in your life at this moment. Like, what are you experiencing? Like, let's say about those four quadrants that we just talked about, right? Like, and so if you just like don't have one of them at all in your life, maybe it's like, think about how you can like ask for that, you know? And, but I think it's also like, just in your everyday life, are you even, do you ever sort of like let yourself get to something beyond the surface? And that's what I was kind of trying to talk a little bit about on Sunday to you, is just sometimes we just so much avoid, like almost intentionally avoid anything of meaningfulness in conversation, you know, because we're maybe afraid or we're tired or we're whatever. But it's like sometimes when I'm so tired, I'm just like, and somebody's like trying to get serious, I'm like, oh boy.
I've seen that look on your face.
Yeah. And then you're just like, oh, I didn't want to do that right now. It probably ends up being good.
Yeah.
But you're just like, oh. No, I don't know how you guys get with that.
Well, I think there's something really significant there, because you can experience literally the same sermon, but depending on what's happening internally inside of you, you'll respond completely different to it. You can be in the same situation with the same person, but what's happening internally at the moment, you respond differently to it. And I was just thinking about, like, you know, your class, if it had been given to you, your crew experience, your 9 months, if it had happened your sophomore year in high school, it wouldn't have had, it would have had very small impact, probably. Exactly. Right. Yeah. But you were in a different place. Internally, you were ready. God had prepared your heart. You had to let your heart be prepared.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's the work that we can do, is ask and be open to God forming us. And if we say, God, I want to be open to your forming me, changing me, you might all of a sudden find yourself in all these places where God is teaching you huge things left and right, not because those things are now present and they weren't before. They were always present, but your response to them is different.
Yeah.
So your weekly Bible study becomes impactful and exciting.
Right.
The sermons on a Sunday morning become impactful and exciting.
Yeah.
The conversation with, you know, your grandpa who wants to walk you through Romans becomes impactful and exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. I had a mentor once like tell me, cause I was finding sort of like the daily quiet time just very dry and dutiful. And I was doing it out of, you know, most people have gone through this kind of experience, right? Where that time, and I was just, but I was extremely, extremely obedient.
Good boy.
Yeah, because I was supposed to do what I was, you know, this is the thing I'm supposed to do. And so I was doing it. And I felt like the more obedient to doing it I was, the worse I felt about my relationship with God. Yeah. And it was like that, which sounds sort of like, maybe to like some people that sounds crazy, right? Or like, what? Like, why? Or whatever. Yeah. And then like a mentor told me, I want you to stop. It's like blew my mind at the time. Now this doesn't blow my mind that much, but he's like, I want you to stop praying and reading the Bible for 3 months. And I was like, that sounds wrong. And I mean, I was a pastor here at Calvary at this time.
Sure.
This is like my early years at Calvary. I'm like late 20s, kind of a crisis of faith of sorts, you know, in this moment. And like, he's just like, you need to stop. You need to stop doing this stuff for God, like, or thinking you're doing this stuff for God. And then just let it, almost like a, I don't know, I compare it to like a, like restarting a computer or something, you know, where it's like, just turn it off, turn it back on again, you know? I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. I think that's a way more common thing that Christians struggle with than people like to admit, because sometimes people feel shame or feel like something's wrong with them. But I think a good way to frame that even is to become curious and ask the Lord, God, well, where are you? Or how are you coming to me in my life right now? Because while reading scripture is not wrong, it's a good practice.
Yeah.
Maybe that is really difficult for you right now to feel excited and like it's a way of life given to you. Because maybe he's coming to you in a different way through other relationships, through worship music, through being out in nature.
Yep.
It's asking God, okay, if life is almost this spiritual practice, if you put it like that, and you are present to me, well, where are you present to me? And how are you, what are you saying to me in these other ways?
It's interesting that you say that, because like the sort of like the foundational question he would always use was the, like, was the Adam, where are you? And like, and the, like, so then it was like, he would just want me then to ask, where are you, both to myself and to God?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what I was just supposed to like sort of sit with over those like few months. I mean, he was like an OG spiritual formation guy, but, but not that OG, cause that's like 1,000 years ago or something. But,
he's old. Paul.
Yeah, exactly. No, but that was like really good for me to like process through those questions and just kind of sit with that and just let whatever happens with that happen with the Lord. If it's like a little bit of, you know, rather than just being like, I have to at 6:30 a.m. Sit in this certain spot and like do this certain reading plan and then pray for this amount of time. And this, I was very structured, like do this sort of like the ACTS prayer thing or whatever, you know, and just like, it was like very structured and I was a very obedient and disciplined kid.
Right. So. Which, like I said, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
But then our faith and our walk with Jesus becomes, again, being a good person.
Yes.
Or like, it's all about your behavior and like, in the sense of like, I'm doing this right thing because this is how I've been trained. But again, it's being more, okay, well, like, what is actual relationship? And like, I'm not going to go meet my friend at, you know, In-N-Out if they tell me they're at Chick-fil-A. Like, if that's not where they're at. Not that God's not present with you, but again, it's the question of, well, where is he trying to work and pay attention? And I think it's, you know, I just wonder who listening to this needs to hear, like, where is God in the difficult things that you're experiencing right now? Because that might be the very thing that he's using to be like, hey, like, come to me with this, and maybe you need to pray and, like, let's process in this way. Maybe, like, your spiritual practice to connect with him is being like, God, this is really hard. God, this is difficult. Where are you? What are you doing? Or or maybe life is great. And it's like, okay, God, thank you so much. Maybe I need to just praise you and like sing, you know? Yeah. There's just, it's easy to get wrapped up into the things you quote unquote should be doing.
Yeah.
And I always say that very carefully because there's a lot of things, we should be doing to be intentional.
Yes.
If we're not being intentional, then we're just going to like slowly fade away.
Right. But, yeah, and his advice wasn't leave the scriptures in prayer for forever.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And he wasn't even telling me, like, leave prayer. He was telling me leave praying in that sort of way I was praying, I think, is more of what it was. And, like, so then I could come back to the scriptures and, reading the Bible and prayer life and whatever. But it was just, it kind of, like, from that point on was never, like, how it was. And honestly, at some level, like, it's, like, I'm always, like, kind of changing the way I do, like the way I would pray or the way I would read the scriptures or how much or what parts. I'm just kind of like,
it's good.
I'm like, try to like never just get in this like rut of like a, you know,
like that. Get through it. Like, cover to cover. Like,
Well, I'm thinking about like even like my relationship with my son Levi. Like when he was little, like I would always tuck him in and we'd talk about his day. Right. What happened today? Do you have a good day? And that was like his processing time. And we pray together.
Yeah.
And that's important. That was probably one of the more important moments of the day for me to have with him. But if I were to say, oh, that's the most important thing I need to do with him, and then just do that. And I didn't sit with him and just snuggle on the couch and not say anything.
Yeah.
And I didn't like, you know, go on a walk with him and talk about like the flowers and the plants and the animals that we saw.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be like, oh, I'm a neglectful father.
Cause you didn't do the nighttime thing.
Yeah. And so I just think that's what happens with God. And especially as Levi grows, what I do with him shifts.
Yeah.
Because we connect in different ways.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same with the Lord. As we grow, you know, like we might, as small children, cherish, you know, something and think that that is where, you know, the intimacy is found.
Yeah.
But I think with God, intimacy is found in so many different ways and places where just sitting next to each other silent without saying anything can become as intimate as that long conversation. And so I think that's part of the joy of discovery is if you lock into reading my Bible, praying, and this and that, and that's it, you're actually robbing yourself of intimacy of what else, you know, there could be out there.
Right, right. And what's important kind of to the discipleship thing is like, hey, we have some people in our life who we can like chat about this stuff with, right?
Yeah.
Or can help us process, or somebody that's like, hey, maybe you've seen someone in your life that like, just according to this topic that we've been discussing here, hey, somebody in your life you've seen kind of has like worked some of that stuff out in their own life. They've been through some of these experiences, and you can ask them, hey, what was your experience of like spending time with the Lord? Like, how do you think about mm-hmm. that? And then in that conversation, that's a discipleship conversation, right?
Yep.
And
yeah.
So it's like where we really need to be seeking that out and like seeing where we can offer that, like with humility of how we can offer that to others. And mm-hmm. Hoping that we've, I think something I remember you said to me too, it was like part of like why we pursue holiness so that we can be that kind of person that can offer that to mm-hmm. to someone else, mm-hmm. you know, that we've prepared ourselves to be the kind of person that's worth like someone saying like,
yep.
Hey, can I learn from that from you? You know, mm-hmm. I don't know. So yeah. So discipleship.
Woo.
Yes. So pumped for this. Just really want to encourage people like keep like leaning into this stuff, like the best that you can of just like pursuing relationship, pursuing like mm-hmm. people in your life that you can both give and receive from and to.
And pursue people who make you uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Because I think that's the other thing is you can find people who like kind of like hone in on your sweet spot and you're like, oh, that's exactly, we speak the same language.
Yeah.
And like find people who are pushing you in a direction that makes you nervous and stretch a yeah. little bit and mm-hmm. be like, okay, mm-hmm. there's got to be something here because yeah. they love you. They love the Lord. They're committed to his ways. They are committed to sound doctrine, but they are experiencing God in ways that I don't, and it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I think that's a healthy mm-hmm. pushing.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, why are, with some of those blanks that maybe you have on your discipleship, like inventory checklist, like, what are a few of those blanks because you're uncomfortable about those things, maybe even, you sure. know, and it might be, mm-hmm. and it's just like, ooh, that's a topic I don't know if I want to get into.
Right.
Like, hey, mm-hmm. yeah, lean into it.
Growing pains.
Yeah, that's right. So I think we want to try to, you know, we want to like as a church, like keep pursuing this. And like, I think we're trying to dream about, okay, even this checklist thing and some of these other things, like how can we keep helping people? So it's like, you know, are there some ways that we can continue to grow? Are there some ways that we can continue to like kind of get people mm-hmm. connected to people that, because I know maybe for some of you, if this is easy to connect with someone or to ask for that, some of you, it's like really hard
yeah.
and you could use some help and we want to come alongside you and help you. Mm-hmm. Even if that's like just really informal in the way that it's just like you ask somebody on the staff team who would be good for me to meet with. And mm-hmm. we're just like, hey, why don't you try this person? It might be great. You know, mm-hmm. Or we might have some more like ways that you can like fill out a form, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so,
totally.
But yeah. Anyway, we want to like
it's good.
Keep leaning into that. All right, sweet. Thank you guys, Flynn and Dory. Appreciate you.
Yes, it's been a good time here with you all.
But of course, I'm always.
Mirman Jess and Felamin Derrit. That means thank you. Felamin Derrit for listening to the Calvary Life podcast.
Oh, wow. Look at you. No, we're not going to be done. We have one more thing. You can't.
Oh,
you
that
can't.
Was so good.
Excited.
Yeah, I know.
Can
that
we all
was
say
so
Felamin Derrit, though?
Felamin Derrit.
Felamin Derrit.
Felamin Derrit.
Felamin Derrit.
Birdie, are you listening? Pastor Birdie in Albania?
By the way, it was just the 30th anniversary of Way of Peace Church in Luzhnia, Albania, this last Sunday.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, big celebration of 30 years of ministry.
So cool.
So that's really cool.
I sent them a little video saying the 5 Albanian words I know. And I was like,
oh,
no, it's going to be so embarrassing when they actually watch it. But whatever. Because I only know the same 5. Repeat them.
It's also like they love know it, that that's like your
yes,
shtick.
Yes, they know me. Yeah. Been there 5 times and they know I pronounce
one
it
word
wrong.
One word each time.
I just say mirror, mirror, mirror means, you know, good, good, good. I'm like, I don't walk around here saying good, good, good. But there I do. Or chef. Chef is fun, and they would get hype that I love that word.
It's so good. I love that.
They're cute.
We did get a couple of emails that we're not going to answer this week because we're mm-hmm. in VBS week, and we probably should just wrap up mostly.
Yeah.
So a couple of emails that are a little more serious, long topics. We'll cover that when I get back. So I'm also going to be just FYI gone for a little bit. So it's likely there won't be an episode next week. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Don doesn't know how to work the like the sound system, the recording equipment.
Oh my gosh.
So a couple of emails we'll cover then. But we did get like a really serious question here
ew.
That we do need to cover. And this is from Ben Hopkins. Just really appreciate your
shout
faithful
out.
Listening, Ben. But he asked this question, what is the best pet to have? Dog, cat, bird, something else?
Wow.
I know. It's interesting to me that he even includes Bird in that list, because I think birds are worthless as a pet, but that's my opinion, even though I have 10 of them.
They live way too
long.
Let them
fly. You have 10 birds?
I do have 10 birds.
What?
What?
Chickens.
Oh. Those are great. They give you eggs.
Yeah, yes. The chickens are a great pet.
And they don't live
true.
Very long.
Eggs are great.
That's true. Yeah, I think I mean more like the whole like parrot. Cockatiel parrot thing.
Yeah, I'm
like
not a fan.
Trash pet. Yeah. Sorry, Victor Mion.
Well, when I was younger, I really wanted a ferret.
Oh, you did?
Are they still illegal?
That's
in California?
What I was going to bring up. I had two
really?
Ferrets growing
you
up.
Had two ferrets.
I had two ferrets, Smidge and Elmer.
Smidge and Elmer. Those are good names.
They were fantastic. The best thing about a ferret is they use a litter box like a cat.
Oh,
you don't have to
do.
Worry about it.
Interesting.
And then you just like open up a drawer to get your socks, and there's a ferret in the little ball asleep.
Oh, it's so
and you're
cute.
Like, I don't even know how you, and you pick it up and it stays almost asleep and it just hangs.
Oh my gosh.
And then you can like TikTok it like a
That's
clock
funny.
And its body just sways.
Oh man.
I want one so bad.
And they're super playful. They like play with toys, except for they do have a hoarding instinct. So you might turn over a couch and find your keys and you're this and you're that are all kind of collected.
Why do you think they were illegal in California for a while? If they still are.
Do you know?
Do you know, Tim?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I just
you can buy them
mean.
And you can own. You cannot buy.
Oh, you can own one in California.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
So you just gotta like, go to Arizona?
Yeah.
But you might need to get it de-scented. So they have a musk scent gland that can be obvious, but you can also have that taken off.
Okay.
Did you have that here in Texas or in Mexico?
In Tustin.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
California.
Okay. Did you buy it here legally?
My brother may have had a source.
All right. If we can get some of our best detectives ferret. On this case, that'd be great. Okay, so ferret. So are you still on this ferret train here, Aaron, or what do you think's the best pet? Do you have a pet?
No. I think I would, if I like lived in the right place, I think I would get a dog.
Yeah?
Yeah, like that's like realistic, you know?
Big dog, small dog.
Oh, big.
Yes.
Small ones, no offense to anyone listening. They could just be like yakkers and kind of annoying.
No one trains a small dog.
Yeah. I grew up with a Australian shepherd named Calvin.
Aww.
I loved him. He's so sweet. I went rollerblading. He pulled me. It was great. We were a good little duo.
They're like the crazy eyes that the Australian shepherds have.
Yeah,
like those,
but
like,
it is so bushy and like so cute. They're pretty loyal too. And they're sheepdogs, so they would like try to herd you.
That's kind of fun.
But he like was like, they're actually really smart and obedient if you train them correctly. But
okay,
weird.
All right,
you know, didn't train him super well, so
yeah,
he would not listen. But loved him.
Yeah, we got big. Tim and I have big, like larger scale dogs, and it's
big
funny.
Fan.
The little dogs will go on a walk, and the little dogs are just barking and squealing at Charlie, and then Charlie's just like looks at him, kind of like whatever,
and just walks away.
Just doesn't care. Like, just walks by.
What do you do?
Yeah,
that's funny.
And Tim, your dog's name is Doug, right?
Doug, after
he's a golden retriever.
Doug, after Doug Brown.
Doug Brown.
Doug Funny.
Douglas Fairbanks.
Oh,
that's
nice.
His original name.
Oh, that's very good.
We rescued him. That was what he came with.
Oh, Charlie, my dog Charlie's name on his, because Charlie's like a full-on purebred dog, which we've never had before, but we just got from a friend, so it was like fine.
Free
but,
dog.
His formal name is Charles Dickens of Wake.
That's amazing.
On his certificate, it says Charles Dickens of Wake.
That's
amazing. I actually wouldn't mind a cat either. I know a lot of people aren't cat people. I wouldn't mind having one though. If it was the right cat, you know? Some are annoying and sassy, but.
Yeah. Do you like my cat?
Yeah, she's so sweet.
Yeah.
Lola?
Lola. Yeah, Charlie and Lola.
She's so cute.
Yeah. So we have these like little brainstorm sessions that we do in my backyard sometimes. Mm-hmm. And for the listener to hear this, but my cat just sort of like walks around us.
Yeah.
Like doesn't really like come up to anyone. All the way, but just sort of like walks around everyone, just like happy to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Cats are pretty easy most of the time. But I do think the world's easiest pet is
a snake.
Oh, that's true. I was going to say the world's easiest and also productive pet is a chicken.
Is it actually easy though?
It seems like a lot of work.
I know.
You gotta feed them every day.
I guess I just don't do anything.
Not feed your dog every day?
The easiest way, the easiest pet is the chickens that your wife says she wants to have, but you don't want to have. And so you say, fine, but I'm not gonna do any of the work. So I only do the work when she's gone, and I have to do the chicken work. But I will never in my life clean the chicken run out, because that is a disgusting job.
And never drop your gum while you're cleaning the chicken run.
Oh.
Because you might find it, or think you found it, multiple times.
Oh, but it's their stuff.
That's funny. If I drop my gum, I would just
let it be.
First of all, anywhere, I think I would. Yeah,
just it's then, gone.
But yeah, in the chicken run, oh my goodness, it is a disgusting place. But
it's kind of nice having fresh eggs, though.
Yeah, but they do give us eggs.
So nice.
The next animal I'm interested in, I want a tortoise.
Oh yeah,
that can just roam my backyard and just eat. And then find a little hole and sleep. And then just, my brother has one right now. He adopted it. It's about 140 pounds.
What?
It's huge. It's like this.
Wow. That's like a Galapagos tortoise or something.
Oh, and it like goes around, and it just like, if it like shell gets caught on the barbecue just ends up on the other side of the yard. It just drags whatever it hits.
This feels like another illegal pet to have. Like I feel like your brother is in some sort of shady business.
Yeah, and we had a lot of
missionary
stuff.
Kids are weird.
We had possums at one point. We had
that's awesome. All sorts of possums stuff. As a pet. That's amazing.
There's some babies that we found.
Squirrels.
We raised them.
That's great.
Hope that answers your question.
Yeah, so
Ben.
There you go, Ben. I think you should either get ferrets, chickens, or an opossum. Aaron, do you want to do the honors?
Yeah, and to remind everyone that Felamendaret means thank you in Albanian. So, everybody, Felamendaret for listening to the Calvary Life podcast.
That was clutch.
By the way, that's a first.
Thanks again for listening to the Calvary Life Podcast. If you'd like to share any of your thoughts, please reach out to us at podcast@calvarylife.org. You can find out more about the show on Instagram @CalvaryLife or on our website at calvarylife.org/podcast.